The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. And I appreciate that so very, very much. I think when Jared married Debbie, he got a good one. Amen. And so that is a blessing. We're glad she's part of our family. I think we have another missionary here tonight. Do we have another missionary here tonight to the Philippines? Would you stand, please? Where are you at? Brother, stand up. Introduce yourself. Would you, Doc? Introduce yourself. Amen. Give him a hand. That's good. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been teaching a series on Sunday night. Rarely do I ever teach a series on Sunday night. But I felt like because I'm teaching on Wednesday night on preserving the Christian home, I thought it would be good to look at some principles on Sunday night that would be helpful. And we've been talking here and preaching about the Christian living. We have preached on how to fellowship, how to tithe, how to face the impossible, how to face that which is failure, how to become valuable, how to change, my worst enemy, how to apologize. Now tonight, how to be successful. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. Let me reiterate this as I read it to you one more time. The Bible says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before," listen to it now, "and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." I believe that there's fundamental principles we'll see in this man's life that will help us to understand the fundamental elements of being successful. You'll see some things here, I believe, that every Christian ought to adopt and to practice in their life. The same principles that you'll find that makes a successful preacher is the same principles you'll find that will make a successful lawyer. The same principles that you find that will make a successful doctor is the same principles that you would find that would make a successful mechanic. And so as we look at it tonight, we're going to see some fundamental principles. And by the way, these fundamental principles are the same. They're ordinary laws that would and should help us to govern our lives so that we can become successful. Well, you say, well, you don't understand, preacher. Zacchaeus was a successful man, but in the eyes of those that was in his community, he was a dishonest man. I do understand that. Matter of fact, we can all understand that according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, where the Bible talks here that he wants to make that dishonesty right, where the Bible says, "If I have taken anything from among any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And so here was a man that became honest, though I believe that he grew his finances in dishonesty. Can I tell you, many politicians of our day are dishonest people. I didn't say all of them. I said many. Matter of fact, I have a newspaper article right here that was put out by the Indianapolis Star on January 5 on page E1. It said this, "Can you imagine working for a company that has 500 employees, of whom 29 of them has been accused of spousal abuse, of them have been arrested for fraud, 19 of them have been accused of writing bad checks, 117 of them had filed bankruptcy in at least two businesses or more, three of them have been arrested for assault, 71 of them have credit cards so bad that now they have to file for bad credit, 14 of them have been arrested for drug-related charges, 8 of them have been arrested for shoplifting, 21 of them have charges against them that are pending about defrauding others. And in 1980 or 1998 alone, now these statistics I just read you are those that are of the present, but in 1998 alone, 84 of them were arrested for drunk driving. And you say, well, man, what type of company is that? That is the United States Congress. And can I tell you, these are the people that help to make our laws. All right. Now, can I tell you, here's a man that's likened onto that. Here is a man that he was known, if you would please, as somebody that you would call a scallywag. You know, during the Civil War, there was those that were called scallywags, and there was those that was called carpetbaggers. The carpetbaggers would come to the South from the North, and they would try to establish and to rule and reign over the affairs of the South. They would establish themselves as those that were leaders. The scallywags were those that were in the South, and they started to work for those carpetbaggers that was coming down from the North. And what they did is they worked against those that were their neighbors to be able to make money. Zacchaeus did the same. Zacchaeus worked for the Roman government, and he came and he helped to impose heavy taxation among the people that was there. Can I tell you, he was an unpopular fella among the crowd. So here's this short little fella by the name of Zacchaeus, and all of a sudden now he hears that the Lord is coming. And so what did he do? He tries to find himself a way to be able to see him. Now, I submit to you tonight, maybe he climbed up in that sycamore tree because he truly was small in stature and he wanted to be able to see the Lord. I believe that might be possible. I believe the Bible does indicate and also show us that is true. However, don't forget that the crowd did not like him. So maybe he did not want to be down there with the crowd because, after all, the crowd might beat him over his head. He was the one that was taking money from that crowd. Please don't forget. And so maybe he didn't want to be among the crowd because the crowd really knew who he was. He was a scallywag. But notice some things that we can find out about him whereby he did get close to the Lord. By the way, anybody can get close to the Lord. Listen to me now. Anybody can get close to the Lord that wants to get close to the Lord. Oh, you say, but preacher, you don't understand. I can't get close to the Lord because, after all, you don't know the reputation I have. You don't know my family. You don't know my background. You don't know where I came from. But do you know anybody can get close to the Lord? And here's evidence of that. How is it that he became successful? Yes, even in the presence of our Lord. Let me give you some things. Statement number one, he learned to overcome his handicaps. He learned to overcome his hand. I'm talking about how is it that we could be successful. We can follow a pattern, if you would, or if you would, an example of a man that became successful. Now, what did he do? Statement number one, he learned to overcome his handicaps. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus entered, it says, and passed through Jericho. In verse 2, the Bible says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, it says, which was chief among the publicans and was rich. All right, so here is this man. He was involved in working for the Roman government. He was a man that was taking from those that were around him. Yes, short in his stature, but that wasn't going to stop him. He decided that even if it was going to make people sore, he was going to do what he wanted to do. Even if he decided to give somebody a headache, he decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. Now, can I tell you, there needs to be some old-fashioned character when it comes to Christian living among us. We ought to decide that we have character for God when we have a sore throat. We ought to decide we have character for God when we have a headache. We ought to decide we have character for God when we have a sore toe, or maybe a broken friendship, or maybe a rebellious child, or maybe a broken arm, or maybe a bankrupt account, or maybe a stuffy nose, or a car wreck, or maybe a broken heart, or yes, maybe a nagging wife, or maybe the death of a loved one, or maybe sickness, or maybe a mean, outrageously cruel mother-in-law, or maybe losing a job, or maybe a broken promise, or criticism, or terminal disease, or a whimpering husband. You and I ought to decide that we're going to live for God and learn to overcome our handicaps. All right, statement number two, use what you have and know. Use what you have and know. How is it that we can be successful? Learn to overcome handicaps. Use what you have and know. Look in your Bible, Luke chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was the pass that way. All right? So he used what he knew. He used what he had. And can I say that sometimes we use things as an excuse, but we ought never to use things as an excuse and not serving God. You know what he did? He made a chariot out of his difficulty and he drove past the crowd. That's exactly what he did. He decided that he was going to get ahead of the crowd. Now, we understand that here's a man that no doubt was a scorner. Here was a man, no doubt, that when people saw him, they hissed at him. Here was a man that you could see that he had some physical handicaps and that he was shorter in his stature. Here was a man, however, he was successful, but he became successful in the eyes of many that knew him as being somebody that was a thief and a crook and a liar. But yet you see some things about him. And what are those things? Well, we get to learn that a person can still be able to go forward, and by the way, can go forward the right way. I said the right way, even though they have handicaps. Please don't do this. Please don't blame God or not serve God because you have a handicap. Well, you don't understand, preacher. I can't do this. Oh, but my Bible says all things are possible to them that believeth. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't offer up excuses as to why you cannot serve God. You say, but I'm uneducated. Every uneducated person can become an educated person if they so want to be. But you don't understand. I don't have a good personality. Oh, but everybody can work on their personality and make it better if they so want to be. But you don't understand, Pastor. I'm just not spiritual. Oh, but everybody can grow in their spirituality if they so want to be. But you don't understand, Pastor. I'm not friendly. Oh, everybody can put a smile on if you want to. You smile about ice cream. You smile about pizza. Oh, I was heading home last night, and we just had a ball out here. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm so proud of Lone Star Baptist College, and they had their barbecue sale and raised over $3,000 for the college and sold 313 barbecue meals. I thought that was neat. And then our young people, God bless you, God bless you, our young people and the workers, and Brother Jonathan leading that charge, and had a yard sale out here. Neighbors even brought stuff over, and oh my, yard sale, and I think they raised, what, $3,500, you told me, and what a blessing. And then we had the ladies' craft sale going on at the same time, and while all that's going on, the Baptist Scout Rangers are out hiking through the woods and finding bears and capturing them alive, and then the sports program, and then America for Christ soul winners hit the streets Saturday afternoon and led 115 people to Christ, and then over 100, and I think it was right at 110, came out for the soul winning meeting while everybody else is out there doing everything else. Now, can I tell you, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what you think you cannot do. You'd be amazed at how God could use you once you step up to the plate and just decide that you can be used of God. I'm saying this, learn to overcome your handicaps. Use what you have and know. Statement number next, always be on time. The other night, Dad and I, we were going to watch the World Series. Now, that was last night, that was the night before. And so we're in the living room, and we thought, you know, it's going to be done. I mean, it's going to be, wow, they're going to hit the ball, run the bases, and a game's going to be over. Now, we didn't stay up, but I heard that it lasted for 7 hours and 20 minutes. 18 innings. The longest game in World Series history. Now, can I tell you, those that were there decided that was important. Those of us that went to bed decided that was not all that important. But can I tell you, all right, now I've got to find out, because, I mean, some of you guys are pointing at people here. How many stayed up to watch the whole thing? Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Always be on time. Always be on. You know, Dr. Robertson used to say this. Dr. Lee Robertson, by the way, when Dr. Robertson resigned his church and went into evangelism, they were averaging around 10,000 people or so. But one thing he taught his people all the time, you'd hear him say it, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late. If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. All right? And so be on time. If we can be on time for other things, why can't we be on time for God? Why can't we be on time coming to church? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? You would not slide in your work late. But you'll slide in church late. That kind of shows me where priorities are. You won't slide in work late, but you'll slide in the choir late. Or is it time to pray or what?
Yes.
Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we ought to decide that God's important.
Yes.
Amen. We ought to decide that God... Oh, you say, but I don't want to work the nursery. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in there with those crying babies and those diapers that are good up to 10 pounds. I don't want to do that. Now, can I say you listen to me? That's not true, by the way. That's not true. They're not good up to 10 pounds. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what we do. We do what is important to us. We do. We do. When you have a singing practice and you don't show up, you're showing what's important to you. Now, isn't it good that we can put God first? Oh, I'm of the belief that we ought to be on time for church. I'm of the belief we ought to serve God. I'm of the belief we ought to give Him our dead level best and put Him first in everything we do. I'm saying this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him. The Bible says and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Oh, wait a minute. When did they get introduced one to the other? Isn't it amazing how Jesus knows everything about us? The Bible says He looked up unto him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He says, for today I must abide at thy house. Well, Jesus knew the crowd wasn't going to be there because nobody liked this fella. That'd be a place where he could go and get some rest. Nobody's going to be knocking on his door because every time they knock on his door, he charges them taxes. So nobody's coming around. No doubt he's got some guards around his house. I mean, he was a man perhaps that had life in jeopardy. The Bible says in verse 6, the Bible says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, why is that? Oh, I don't know. He might have felt privileged. He might have felt like he was somebody. He might have felt that, well, maybe these things that I've been doing wrong, I can finally get somebody to help me get out of my mess. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that here we see that he was right there on time and ready to go. Oh, I say, God pity the miserable soul that marries a woman that's too lazy to clean the house. Oh, I say, God pity the miserable woman that marries a man that's too lazy to go out and get a job. There has to be some character somewhere. Somewhere we're losing it in America. Well, I think that when I graduate from high school, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a welfare recipient. Ought not to be that way. You ought to have more character than that. Don't live off the government. Do better than that. You know, the Bible doesn't say that Zacchaeus was a brilliant person. Doesn't say he was a university graduate. Doesn't say that he was musically inclined. Doesn't say that he was strong and handsome and debonair. Doesn't say that he was knowledgeable in many different languages. But we know he had enough sense to climb the tree, to get up to where he could see Jesus. And can I tell you, you ought to rise above your problems so that you can see Jesus working in your midst. Well, you don't understand, preacher. It's just hard. Life is hard. But can I tell you, Jesus can help.
Amen.
Don't ever get to the point, to the place you say where I'm frustrated, preacher. I just don't think that I can make it. Oh, yes, you can make it with you and God. You're in the majority. Amen. I'm saying tonight, listen, please. You'll see that he learned to be able to overcome handicaps. He used what he had and what he knew. You'll see that he was on time for this event. Then you'll see that he was, we ought to be willing to be able to help others that have and know. There's others that have and know things, but yet they still need help. I'll give you an example. Luke chapter 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And when they saw it, they murmured, saying, he was gone down to the guest of the man that is a sinner." Well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Let us not forget that he sat with publicans and sinners. Verse 8 says this in Luke 19, says, "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord," it says, "half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." So wait a minute. So he goes down as a guest, and now because of the presence of the Lord, you see that he's confessing things that he never confessed to anybody before. You know why? Because Jesus does make the difference. Young people go to camp, they get away from all the enticements of the world, and God has a free shot at their heart. And all of a sudden, they make a decision for God at camp. And more, they're on fire, and they come back saying, "Yes, I'm going to read my Bible, and yes, I'm going to keep this decision, and yes, I'm going to live for God." You know why? Because everything else was out of sight, and they were meeting with the Lord, only the Lord. And what happened, the Lord to his house, now it's him and the Lord. I can imagine he wanted some private time with the Lord. I can imagine if you want to be successful, you also ought to want some private time with the Lord. The Bible says here that here he is, and the crowd begins to murmur. By the way, be very careful about that crowd. When you want to live more for Jesus and you have a crowd around you that begins to murmur, because you want to live more for Jesus, you better be careful about that crowd, friend. That crowd is not good for you. That crowd is going to hurt you in the long run. All of a sudden, they serve liquor down at your workplace, and you stand up as a Christian should. I said as a Christian should. And say, "No, I'll not be attending that drunken party. I'm not going to do it. I appreciate the invite, but no, I cannot come." You realize probably somebody's going to be murmuring about you. But I'd rather them murmur about my goodness than them to murmur about my evilness. It'd be better to stand too far to the right than too far to the left. I submit to you that Zacchaeus, oh, he had problems. Oh, he had difficulties. Oh, there's some things in his heart not right. But can I tell you, he had one thing right. He said, "Hey, I need to see he who is coming. Hey, I want you, being the Lord, would you come to my house?" And he came to his house, and there's where you see that Zacchaeus says, "I'll tell you what, if I've done anything wrong, I want to get it right." You'll be amazed what happens when God moves in and you move out. You'll be amazed what happens when all of a sudden you say, "God, I need you to work in my life, and I need you to change me from the inside out." You'll be amazed at what God will do. Watch this, and I'm concluding. Here's what we see. We see this, that we learn to overcome our handicaps. We see we need to use what we have and know. We always need to be on time. Be willing to help others with what you have and know. Then allow others to be able to help you. Zacchaeus was a rich man. Zacchaeus was a cunning businessman. Zacchaeus was a cheater among those that lived around him. But you notice this about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus allowed others to help him. As he's sitting there in that house, I don't know what day it was. I don't know if it was a spring day or a summer day month. I don't know. I just don't know what day it was. But I know this. I know that when they came into the house, there was conversation. By the way, when somebody has a conversation with you, it's probably because they care. It's probably because they love you. They're trying not maybe to get in your business as much as they care about you as a person. Because they care about you as a person, they reach in. Don't slap somebody away like that. If you're drowning and somebody swims up to you, don't slap them away and say, "Well, I tell you what, it's none of your business if I drown." Don't treat your friends that way. They don't want you to drown. So they try to reach in and try to rescue. They try to reach in and try to love. They try to reach in and try to help. Don't get mad at them. By the way, don't get mad at that preacher when he gets up one day and he rears down on your sin. You say, he's after me. Oh, no. I preach mostly general truth, and the Holy Ghost of God gives a personal application. And if he is climbing your tree, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. That's called conviction. Only God can give conviction, not man. Not man. Now watch this, if you will. Here it is. Luke chapter 19 and verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Watch this now. Come into this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Who is salvation? Jesus is. You see, Jesus brings salvation wherever he goes. Wouldn't it be good if we're saved that we bring salvation with us wherever we go? Wouldn't it be a neat thing? Watch this, if you will. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wonder why I said was and did not say is. Here Zacchaeus is that one that is sitting right there. Zacchaeus, no doubt, in the eyes of business people, was successful. In the eyes of people that he dealt with, however, he was a cheat. He was a crook. He was somebody that was not doing right. But salvation can take a soul and save a soul and change their hands. Change their hands. Salvation can take a soul and save a soul and change their mind. Salvation can take a soul and save a soul and rescue a marriage. Salvation can take a soul and save a soul and turn a child back to his parents. Salvation can take a soul and save a soul, and because of that, many lives are changed for the future in many, many years to come. Why? Because salvation shows up in the form only of the form and in the form of Jesus Christ. So when a person receives Jesus, things change. Things change. Never will forget, Daddy got saved. Daddy drank, and Daddy got saved. Never will forget it. How he took that liquor, and he poured it down the sink, and he said this, no more. No more. My wife, my dear wife, could testify. In our house, I've said this before, coming up, I didn't get saved, I was 18, but coming up, we knew those curse words. I mean, I'm telling you, I think we wrote the book for sailors. But my wife could attest to this. When my daddy got saved, after he got saved, he let a curse word slip. Now, by the way, he used to use them every other sentence or so, but he let a curse word slip, and here's what he would say. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that in front of you. I'm just so sorry. And he'd cover his mouth. And he'd say, oh, I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know why? Because salvation changed him. I witnessed to my brother, my older brother, who's gone home to be with the Lord, lived in York, Pennsylvania for years, had his own electrical company. I witnessed to Dave over and over again, and his kids are watching right now. I witnessed to him over and over again, and as I witnessed him over and over again, he'd tear up a track and he'd throw it down in my face, and he'd say, I don't want nothing you have. He'd walk away. Sean had a part, his boy, in him getting saved. After Dave got saved, Dave changed. Yeah. He said, for all those years, I was a fanatic for the devil. He said, I only have a couple years left. I think I'll be a fanatic for God. And he was. He witnessed everything that moved and breathed. He's one of these guys got these stickers on his truck, you know, that would say, hell is real. And if you don't get saved, you're going to burn. I mean, just right there, you know. I mean, he had stickers on the back of his truck and said, I won't see you in hell. And had a finger pointing right at that. I mean, they're pulling up behind him. And he's sitting at a red light. It's got fire coming out with a thing. I mean, he had all sorts of stickers, so some of the kids tell me. Now, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying that salvation, when it's brought into the house, changes a man. Here's what we understand. How is it that we can be successful? Well, I think we can be successful by taking some of these principles that we saw about this man. He was a man that knew how to overcome. He learned how to overcome his handicaps. He knew how to use what he had and what he knew. He was on time, especially on that day. He was willing to help others with what he had as he tried to make things right, even to that which is fourfold. And then he allowed others to be able to help him. And by the way, if you want to be successful, follow some of those principles, and it'll help you to be successful in any endeavor in your life. Now, Father, help.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.